the women in the world, especially her.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, dear Barry, I'm about to let you have a whole lot of fun.
Uh-oh, what happened?
But I'm going to save it for a second because I did tease this earlier, and this is not a good tease. George Springer was hit today in the first inning of the game in Oakland and removed from the game. Nick and I were under the understanding he got hit in the shoulder. Have seen two different angles on video, and they're saying he got hit in the hand after it hit him in the shoulder. Not sure yet as to if x-rays are being done and if he is okay. He has been removed from the game. Hopefully nothing's broken. It's not too serious. But Springer got hit, and it looked like on the second angle they showed, it ricocheted off his shoulder below his rotator cuff and then somehow made connection with his hand on the bat.
Damn.
Yeah, not good there.
No, that's not good at all.
All right, so this is going to be fun. All right, so Nick warns me.
Okay.
Gives me a little heads up. Here's the deal. Your good friend who blocked you.
Yes.
Goes out on Twitter because he's the expert on everything. You know, he is a...
Kurt Lowe.
Yes, he is a basketball... He's a self-proclaimed...
Scout, right?
And basketball expert. I forget. There's a certain way he has billed himself. He went out on Twitter, Nick made me aware of it, and said James Harden has not been back to Toyota Center since the end of Game 6 and sent someone else to go clean out his locker and get the rest of his stuff. First of all...
According to his hashtag sources.
Right, according to hashtag sources, right, which he has many of and claims they're all spot on. Took me all of 5 seconds, basically, right, Nick, in the break to call someone in the know.
Dude, before you even were at... Did you use the restroom?
Huh?
Like in that last commercial break, did you go take a break?
Yeah, I went and used
like
the restroom.
Like before you even got to the
Coke.
Bathroom, he had it confirmed.
Before you got into the door, I had it confirmed that that's absolutely false.
What? Yes. You don't say.
But yet all of his followers
uh-oh.
Are convinced, now this is why there could be a chemistry issue. This is why he may not have gotten that extension yet. This is why there could be problems.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
And this is why most bloggers have contributed to the downfall of respected media. Because guys with, you know, just the need for attention will go out there and post things like this and say, sources are telling me this, that, and the other, without ever revealing or even having a source. They just have a feeling or, you know, they heard something on Twitter or... Without looking into it, back in the old days, they used to actually get two or three confirmations before you posted and gave and used the word sources.
But
you used to confirm it. Guys don't do that now.
But bloggers, when they say they got two or three sources, it's usually two or three whack sources.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is these guys don't have these established sources. Like, Joel, I mean, you know, you dealt with guys that were respected writers for respected publications. They weren't just a blogger who went out and started up a WordPress site with GoDaddy, and now all of a sudden I'm a member of the media, and I can get credentials, and I can write about things, and whenever I feel like it, I can start a rumor by saying sources said.
Right.
And that's what's ruining, you know, in some cases, the legitimacy of when guys come out with actual facts and you know, information that they can't reveal their sources on. So, yeah, I don't feel sorry for Kurt Lowe if he's taking heat for this or he's going to take heat for it. You should know better.
It's just, this is ridiculous. Because, let me just say this, too, to both you guys, to Barry, to your point. The other thing that people aren't aware of that they think everything on social media is true, but especially if it comes from the team or it comes from some of these people. The other thing is teams play and use even the biggest of beat writers to their advantage.
Yeah.
You don't think for a second that it was quote-unquote leaked to Woj or to some of these guys that are big-time NBA writers that, hey, the Rockets had discussions with the Pacers about Paul George. The Rockets picked up the phone and they were talking to the Bulls about Jimmy Butler. Guess what? Every team in the league called about Porzingis. Every team in the league. That doesn't mean that they had deep conversations. But guess what it does mean? It means that for your fan base, they think you're the man. They think as an organization, you're going for it. You're deep. Because in their mind, that's what's going on. But it's not even close. They play the media just as well as the media plays them looking for information.
Yeah.
And it's just to make them look better.
Fans don't get the concept of an inquiry. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I can send you an email. It doesn't mean anything is going to happen. Anything is going to be completed
or
executed.
It's the equivalent of going out to Monster Jobs and just submitting a bunch of resumes. It doesn't mean you're going to work for that place. It just means you asked about the job.
Exactly.
I mean, that's all that is. And they said, no, we're not interested. And everybody moved on. So it's, I don't know. I think he's had his 15 minutes, though.
I wanted, for whoever follows all of us, I wanted to verify. I already knew in my mind because I had talked to people that had said there were days that he and some of his buddies were in there lifting weights.
Yeah.
But I wanted to verify it before I went out to say this publicly. But I verified it wasn't true so that at least from our standpoint, whenever we can, we'll give you accurate information. Here's the other thing. If you're a player that's under contract for the next couple of years, are you really cleaning anything out? Your locker is your locker, and it will be there. And by the way, it's a twofold locker for him because he's a big star. He doesn't just have one. He has two. You guys can verify you've been in the locker.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to get the other one? Who's going to get the big one on the other side now that Nene's not going to be here?
Well, no. Calvin Watkins said he's not going to be here, but there's still a chance he'll be back.
Okay. Well, let's assume he's not. Who's getting the other locker, though? Because there's only two double lockers.
That's not going to happen either.
Yeah. James Harden has
Sam
one.
Sam Decker, because he is the centerpiece of any move they could make.
Oh.
So he's going to probably move into those two lockers.
It would have
lockers,
to be Eric Gordon or whatever vet they bring in, right? Like if it's Chris Paul or one of those guys, they're going to get
Chris
the other
Paul's
one.
For sure.
Any big-time free agent signing is getting it.
Let's assume they don't make a move and Nene is gone. Who's getting the big locker?
There's going to be a fight in the locker room.
Inquiring minds want to know. I guess they'd have to default to Eric Gordon or Ryan Anderson, right?
Ryan Anderson's coming in going, look, guys, I need to feel more comfortable at home because I can't shoot it real well here.
I need the big locker.
I need to be able to spread out.
I need the Cadillac.
Yeah. See, that just causes drama for no reason. They should have just made each locker the same size. That's so dumb.
It's a way to separate.
I mean, I get it. It's in every dynamic, right? The more the person that makes more money, the employee that's the bigger asset gets better treatment. But still, you're talking about NBA players that are all making, for the most part, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You can make them all the same size.
Exactly. I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
It's just whatever.
I have to hear all the time because my microphone's bigger. Joel gets so jealous.
No.
No?
No.
I'm getting tons of these Springer finger dinger tweets.
Oh, boy.
And I really feel like if you guys were trying, this would have been a Springer stinger and not a Springer dinger finger. It would have been a Springer stinger. I got to do all the work around here. I don't understand this. And then Lenny just tweeted. Well, Jason tweeted me an Aoki pokey. I guess Aoki must have hit a double. But he did tweet an Aoki doki. Maybe that's when it's a double. Because when that's a slap hit to left field, that's an Aoki pokey. Just that little single that he slaps in the left.
Yep.
But maybe a double should be an Aoki doki. I'm all right with that.
I'm good with either one of them.
Let's bring it.
Just get Blummer to use one of them.
No, I'm gonna have to pay that dude. I don't know how much it's gonna cost. I may have to start a GoFundMe, the Aoki pokey GoFundMe.
I want to pay for him just to say Aoki pokey
because I want to see if there's enough gullible Astros fans that don't listen to this show that would start to use it and take off with it. I think that would be hilarious if they think, oh, that's so cool. That's just like Springer Dinger, and then they start using it.
You got to get him to say Aoki Pokey when you see him in the locker room one of these days.
Ooh.
And I guarantee you play that.
No way he's saying it, though. You think I could get Aoki to say that?
I think he might. I think there's a chance.
No way.
I'm not trying to – I'm being honest.
So you think if I went up to him and was like, hey, Aoki, question for you. Does it bother you that, you know, everyone talks about George Springer and a Springer Dinger and this, that, and the other, but whenever you get that signature patented hit to left field, no one yells Aoki Pokey? Let's get this started, you and me. You say Aoki Pokey, and then he does? You think that happens?
I think if Calvin Watkins introduces you to Aoki to verify,
no
to verify your media existence, I think it can happen.
I stand no chance.
I bet you if you meet him like once or twice and say something, just so he recognizes
you. Start some small talk.
And then ask him, I guarantee he says yes.
Speak really good English?
I don't think so. Maybe you can do it through the Asian media.
He can repeat what you say.
He could say Aoki Pokey.
I think he would do it. Look,
I really believe he would.
I totally believe, in all honesty, I really believe he would do it.
You guys are getting me hyped, but I realize you're only setting me up for failure.
I'm not, literally, swear. I'll go with you.
I'm not taking
all three of us can go and explain who we are. And because you're the biggest star, we'll let you. But let's get it. He'll do it. I guarantee it. I'm not going to guarantee it, but I really feel good he'll do it.
When the Astros back at home.
Astros out here raking.
Let's do
no,
it.
No, by Mariznick, the way, Mariznick a Jake deep. Quake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
A Jake Quake just happened.
Stop it, damn
the
you.
The Jake Quake, as he's filling in for the Springer Dinger, went yard.
Jake Quake.
A Jake Quake.
I hate you so much. Let me tell the people about Cowboys and Indians.
Yeah,
all right.
Try and rhyme Mariznick.
Guys, I'm going to tell you about Cowboys and Indians. It's a new place that I found about a month and a half ago. I love this place. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. It's located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. You're going to love this place. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort food and Indian food. And I'll be honest with you, when I went there, Nick and I went to check it out, and I had told him I had only had Indian food one time before, and I really didn't like it. I wasn't a fan, so I was pretty skeptical. I got to tell you, I loved it. I loved the food, and it's not just me. When I talked about it, I post some pictures on my Instagram. My friend went the next day just because she was looking for a new place to grab some Indian food. She hit me back. She said she loved it as well, and I'm sure you will too. It's Cowboys and Indians Texans Kitchen. It has a ton of fusion favorites. They're known for having the best buttered chicken in Houston. You should also go out there and try their non-quesadillas. They have a Himalayan heat burger, wings, sliders. If you don't want chicken curry, they got chicken fried steak. It's all delicious, all authentic family recipes. While you're there, you can enjoy it. They have a full service bar. You can watch the game, get a cocktail. And if you don't want to get off the couch, you can order Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. Again, they're located 1901 Taft. Get more information about them on Facebook at CNI713. So take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. And when you go out there, tell Haas and Imran Barry said hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry, Nick, and Joel, till 4. Just giving you a little intern space in case you needed to breathe. Astros up 5-0, so no need to watch that. You should be listening to us anyway. We're deep into the last hour of the show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. We've covered Astros. We've covered NBA Draft. We've covered some fake news. And now we're back at it. So if you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us, you can call us, or you can hit us up on Twitter.
Big surprise that I saw this morning. And not even this morning. It was at 1 o'clock when they posted it. But Kyle Schwarber has been sent back down to AAA Iowa from the Cubs. He is scuffling. You talk about a guy that's scuffling. He's hitting 171, is what it says, and just 7 months after helping the Cubs to a World Series. Not good, man. They were really counting on that guy.
I was so surprised because Joel was telling that to Joe in the hallway, I want to say two or three segments ago.
Yeah.
And I was just completely surprised at that.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, you know. Even the guys that you think are kicking ass and taking names, they fall off quick. But I did want to talk about this. I saw this article the other day, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on it because I had kind of made this statement a while back. And I'll give you the article first, and then I'll tell you about it. But it says 18-year-old Becca Longo looking to become the first woman to make it in the NFL. Becca Longo already achieved what most men couldn't, including becoming the first woman to receive an NCAA football scholarship. So she's the first woman to earn a scholarship. Longo kicks for her high school team in Arizona. She was recruited by Division II Adams State, and she didn't even know she had won. She was the first woman to get offered a scholarship until she was signing it, and they told her. So she went 35 of 38 on PATs during her high school career. That's pretty damn respectable. And they're saying that that's her goal. Like, she wants to do it. And she wants to get, you know, and she would kick one day in the NFL if she had the opportunity. I've always said, though, that I felt like the first woman to break that barrier into men's sports would be a pitcher, like a lefty specialist in baseball. I think it would be almost next to impossible to do it in the NBA. In football, really the only way you're doing that is a kicker, right? I don't think there's ever going to be like a woman quarterback. That's...
Lineman, maybe?
No.
What?
Although, this was back when I was in junior high. So that was what? How old are you in junior high? I don't even know. 10?
Junior high is
middle school? Yeah, so this was like 84. 84. We had a girl on like a Pop Warner football team, not junior high school team, but she played on Pop Warner and she was a lineman, and she was pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, like she was stout, and yeah, I mean that was new. That was a weird thing for us back in '84 to see that. But I've always felt like, you know, like a lefty specialist, someone to come in, you know, throw 6, 9, 10 pitches, one batter. But you know, she's apparently legit kicker. I found that to be kind of fascinating that she has goals and aspirations of making it in the NFL one day. And yeah. she's looking like, I mean, they're saying she's good as far as kicking. She's
more power to
her. Doesn't suck.
I mean, that's, you know, I mean, and there are still people in this world and sexist people that don't want to see that, hear that, or talk about it and think that it's, you know, and are going to be complete disbelievers. But more power to her. I mean, I agree with you. Look, and I've seen some of the best women's basketball players on the planet. Diana Taurasi, just a fantastic women's basketball player. But Diana Taurasi in the NBA might be a different story.
Yeah.
It might be. The physicality is exhibit A. It's rough out there. You know, and that's why, like, Nick jokes about linemen. But, I mean, yeah, in the NFL, kicker, punter, maybe. But that's probably the only positions.
Realistically.
Yeah. Baseball, I mean, and they've made movies about it and TV shows about it. But, yeah, I mean, I could see a situation. Look, I played Little League and what'd they call it before you get – not Big Leagues was the one for 18 and under. But I played with a couple girls on teams –
probably like Pony
growing up, yeah, Pony League and Little League. Yeah. Some girls that could flat out play,
yeah,
baseball. I got a buddy of mine right now, the guy I told you about, Juan, that not only cleaned my carpet but gave me great marital advice. But his daughter is still playing hardball because he believes he said when she's not better than every boy she's playing against, I'll move her to softball. He goes, I have softball coaches lining up every single day, but I think she's like 10 or 11,
yeah,
but she's still kicking ass against boys in baseball.
So my ex-wife played softball, and she was a catcher. You save your jokes. And she actually had tried out for the Olympic team, and I think she was like third or whatever. She didn't make it, but they were like, well, you're an alternate or something like that. I don't know how it works. She was really good, and she played at Sam Houston. And I'll never forget, like, you get out there and you're like, we first started dating and she was playing and she was warming up for like a game or whatever. She goes, you want to come warm up with me? We were at the house still, right? Like we had lived together. I had just moved in and she was like, well, I got a game. You want to just go warm up with me? I was like, yeah, that's fine. You know, sure thing, pudding, whatever. I'll come throw the ball around with you. Have you ever played Burnout?
So it might have another name because in the Midwest it has other names.
She introduces me to this game called Burnout. She's like, you want to play Burnout? It's how I usually warm up. I'm like, what is that? She's like, well, you stand at a certain distance and you throw it as hard as you can, and then you keep moving certain distances like apart. So you move in closer, right? So you stand far apart and then you move in, and then the closer you get, the harder you're throwing, to where you're just trying. The whole goal is to try to make the other person quit. I was out in three throws.
Hardball?
Softball, like a softball.
Oh, softball.
I was out in three throws. But I've seen this chick, like, she throws people out from her knees. Like, she doesn't even have to, she doesn't stand up to throw people out. She snap, like, I've seen her in games snap throw guys out, or you know, but players out at first base, you know, leading off without ever having to get to her feet to make the throw. So she had a hell of an arm. And I say all that to say that, there's a lot of people, I think, that sleep on these ladies because of softball, mm-hmm, that they don't have an arm or they can't play. They absolutely can. It's just a different game. You know what I mean? It's a different game. But they're talented, and they can play. And that's why I always felt like one day that would be the sport that I think would be easiest. And Josh Rapp had something on Twitter where he said, what about Annika Sorenstam? She played in a few men's PGA events. Wouldn't that be considered breaking into men's sports? Yeah, but not what I mean, that's not the point. Like, my real point was the three big sports.
Mm-hmm. Played in, yeah, PGA Tour,
yeah,
events too.
I think golf is where it's the most level playing field, right? Because, yeah, they even have a women's tee, which is the equivalent.
But in a PGA, she's got to play the same, yeah, tee as the guys.
Oh, that's true. That's, yeah, true. But then, even then, that's like, you know, that's to make it all even, right? So if you're playing from the women's tee, it would be the equivalent of if they were a man playing from the whites or the blues or the golds or whatever.
I know we got to go to break, Nick, but I'm going to tell you this real quick because my dad was Mr. Old School. My freshman year, I dated a girl who was the catcher on the girls' softball team in college. And yes, she was a pretty girl, right? But she could. So one day, my best friend from high school was supposed to catch me in the middle of winter because I was getting ready for workouts, getting ready for the season. He couldn't make it. So she said she'll do it. My dad was like, scrap the workout. Let's just forget it. And I'm like, Dad, seriously. And he goes, no, let's scrap the workout. We showed up to an indoor facility. I got warmed up. And I not only was throwing high 80s freshman year, so probably high 80s, but also snapping off curveballs, including in the dirt. My dad stood behind the netting, behind home plate. The look on his face was priceless because he was basically like that holy shnikes moment where he was like, what's going on here? But she was legit. Yeah. She could catch.
Yep.
Yeah, so I definitely think there's possibility.
Does that say 10-0 now?
It sure does. I was going to say, Paulino's only given up one hit, but even more importantly, it's been one of those days. Poor A's. The Astros already put a 10 spot up, and we are in the, what does that say, third inning?
Yeah, bottom of the second.
Bottom of the second.
Good Lord. They're at it again.
10-0, bottom of the second.
There you go. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. We got about a half hour left to go in the show. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Ain't no way.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, Barry, till 4, Usual Suspects, as we continue to roll on. I don't know, Barry. You look at the phones. You tell me.
Yeah. Somebody did text the show and said that there was a hockey player, female hockey player, that was one promotion away from being an NHL goalie.
Wow.
Okay. I was not aware of that. Now, that's a good.
You said big three, but again, soccer's another sport where you could get a goalie like a Hope Solo that can really play.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I think in hockey or soccer, a goalie would be one of those positions where a female could rise to the ranks and do something. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're learning.
Okay, so you want to take the call? Jerry? Jerry, what's up? You want to talk about female playing men's sports? What's up?
You guys literally just took exactly what I was going to say. That girl played for the Lightning. I think she played like two exhibitions. I think that was like in like the early 90s. I remember that. It was like a big deal. And I thought there was a girl in the Mighty Ducks that also almost made it. But I was thinking like the only way a female would be able to play in the men's league would be, I mean, like I watched Hope Solo and she clears the ball. I mean, it seems like the distance is there. So I think that would be probably the best shot to actually have like a long career would be have to be a place kicker. So you guys kind of stole the rest of my thunder. But Barry, Joel, you were saying you were throwing in the 80s. You might be a little more athletic than I thought. So I might, maybe I cannot block that shot. So,
telling you, brother, Jerry, you guys. Jerry, you know that, when you go to games in the county fair and they do that, they clock your fastball and you can win a prize. Yeah. If you can do the same speed twice, because they say people always try, to throw their hardest and they throw it all over the place, you can. I threw 88 between my freshman and sophomore year, three straight pitches.
Nice.
No, I believe you. There's no way. I mean, you go to a batting cage and you go to the 80 mile an hour. That thing's moving. So if you can whip it at that, maybe you're a little more athletic than I give you credit for. I'm going to show up to the USC cable guy. I'm going to show up to the gym that you guys play at. I'm going to be like, hey, you guys play here? I was just out and about. I want to play some round ball. See, you guys are going to shoot some hoops. I'm going to show up like this with the short shorts, all creepy.
I was going to say, just make sure the shorts are short and the rec specs are big.
I love it.
You got it.
That's great, Jerry.
Later.
Thanks, all right, Jerry. Man. Have a good day, buddy.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't sleep on it. Joel is athletic. I give him a hard time on a lot of stuff, but yeah, he is athletic.
He is athletic. We got to give him. We give him a hard time.
He carried us those last two. You carried us game one.
Just one.
You carried us game one. Joel carried us game two and three.
And a half minutes.
I carried us in zero games. I hurt my pinky toe. I was exhausted.
Oh, yeah. How are you recovering from that extremely bloody injury?
Have
that
you run since?
Again, I don't throw around the word hero, but I have
you've run since.
Yeah, I've ran once.
Yeah.
And it was an endeavor.
Has that scab healed from that cut that you got on your foot?
Man. Is the sock in the Smithsonian yet?
X-rays were negative. The sock, I did send it to the pickup court Hall of Fame.
Okay. Did they send it back yet?
Yeah, they were like, gross, sir. Stop sending us things, you creepy weirdo.
In a sealed Ziploc that says, please do not open.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. This game is out of control.
Marwin, two-run bomb. Mariznick filling in for Springer. I think it's a three-run bomb.
Ten runs
in the first two innings.
Yeah, that's...
They better get Sonny Gray.
Who is pitching for the A's today?
I don't know. Whoever it is not pitching anymore. He's been removed.
You think? Okay.
Yeah.
Good move by the A's.
I had only given up one. I didn't see what they did this last inning. He had only given up one hit.
So what'd you say, Nick? Good.
Is that Aoki at the
yep.
at bat?
Well, there's an Aoki
there's
pokey.
There's a pokey. Well, technically, I wanted the pokey to just be that slap hit to left field. And everyone, of course,
but
I was up the middle. I just, because he's that kind of signature, you know, he just pushes the ball to left field there. But we can call it whatever. I don't care.
Home run. Like, you know, and you've seen it more so with Ichiro.
Yeah.
But their bat control and that whole style of play where they're moving in the box and actually almost running towards the pitch just to slap it to a certain spot is amazing.
I wonder what the science is behind that. Because, you're taught certain ways to hit. 25, 30 years ago, or when I was learning the game of baseball, if you would have... You know, you were taught to keep your feet still for the most part. Like, you had a little toe touch or whatever.
Yep.
But yeah, you rotate. But you were supposed to be silent in the box for the most part until that, you know, until you hit, and then you were supposed to be explosive. But to be running up to slap the ball,
taking the power out of it. But again, it's more precision than it's if you can place it in the right spot. And I don't think people realize because they see it so frequently now that the Astros are like the leader. And if you've seen any of the games nationally and also some of the local broadcasts lately with Root Sports, how the Astros use the shift more than any other team in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. They talked about they had Hinch on there explaining the shift,
which was awesome with Jessica Mendoza. And I was watching it by myself, by the way. But at the same time, you take all that into consideration. That's why it's so valuable to have a guy that can do what he does. Because if the shift is so far to the right side that he can slap it to the left side, you know, win-win.
Yeah.
It's like Altuve the other night with the bunt. I mean, if you're going to try and shift on guys like that, the smart ones, even some of these big burly guys, they're laying down bunts because they realize, hey, I got a base hit.
Nobody's over there.
It looks the same in the box score.
Yeah. I mean, if it's open, take it. And speaking of bunts... did you see that Verlander had a no-hitter going?
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
Dyson broke it up with a bunt single that he was safe on.
Right.
So I guess my first question is, dirty pool or no? Do you agree with using a bunt like that to get on base and break up the no-hitter? It was in the fifth inning, right?
Yeah, I was going to say sixth inning.
Okay. Well,
so, right,
but they were. So, it was like 5 1/3 or whatever.
So it's the another unwritten rule in baseball, right? You never bunt to break up a no hitter. But then I think that there should be Exhibit A underneath that rule that states the inning in which that takes place. Because I can see it in the ninth inning, maybe eighth inning, but in sixth inning, the game is still not
right. It's
far from over. And in this case, it started a rally inning in which not only did Verlander lose the no-hitter, he lost the game. He got taken out of the game. They came back, tied the game. I don't know if he lost the game. He may have got no decision.
The team lost.
Yeah, the team lost. And it was all because that bunt started a rally inning that changed the tone of the game. So in the sixth inning, I'm not quite as angry about it. If that happens in the ninth with like an out or two outs, now I'm pretty upset.
But at the end of the day, isn't it one of those things where, you know what? Defend it. I mean, stop it, right? It's kind of like when a guy, like, you know, if you're going for some sort of record in points or assists or whatever, it's like running up the score in football. A lot of times people will tell you, if you don't like us scoring and running up the score, stop us.
Right.
That's your job.
Right.
It's the same thing. If you don't like me bunting for a single, then defend it. Especially when you got a guy that's his game. A little cheap or maybe petty to do it in the ninth inning? Yeah. But at the end of the day, you got to stop it. I mean, stop it. But in the fifth inning, I think it was kind of overblown. I think you know, ESPN and some of those guys were looking for it to be a bigger deal than it was.
Yeah, regardless of his fifth.
Even Verlander came out and said, he was like, no, I mean, that's his game. That's what he does. He's not a power hitter. He gets on base by bunting. It's the fifth inning.
I want to say someone did that to Scherzer one time. Scherzer was late in a game, and they laid one down.
Was it Scherzer?
I think it was Scherzer. I know they did it to Curt Schilling. Someone was deep in
I remember
in a
the one when Curt Schilling, I think it was Curt Schilling, had a no-hitter going and somebody bunted and he lost his mind over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's happened before. I just don't have a problem with it. Whatever.
All right. Nick, you had a problem with it?
Nope. I have no problem with it at all.
Okay. All right. So we got one segment to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So we'll try and make it respectful. And we'll catch you on the flip side right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Another good one, boys. On a Thursday, as we get ready to wrap up a clean week before we head on out to the weekend, one segment to go before we turn over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. We've been kicking around plenty of topics, but Sean wants to get in here on a little extra baseball sauce. Baseball sauce is what it is. Sean, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, nothing. I wanted to talk about, y'all talked about Dyson's unwritten rule with the bunt, but what about the Dodger player? Obviously, there was a big old thing with him last week getting suspended for flipping off the Indians fan behind home plate after he hit a home run. And apparently yesterday he took quite a long time to round the bases. Apparently after he hit a home run, it took him like 32 seconds, which is the second longest in Major League history. And apparently the Mets got some words with him, and he told one of the Mets players to F off pretty much. So what's your take on that? Do you think Major League's going to start doing stuff about this, or what's your take on that, guys?
You want to start?
Yeah, so he's talking about Yasiel Puig. Last night he had a home run off of a rookie pitcher, Tyler Pill. And Mets first baseman Wilmer Flores didn't like it. Said something to him as he crossed the bag. Because when he hit it, he watched it. He stared at it. That's nothing new. I mean, 32 seconds around the bases seems a little excessive. But yeah, it's kind of one of those unwritten rules. But I don't have a problem with it because I think it's people are selective. Like, you know, Carlos Gomez caught a lot of heat for the antics that he would do when he would hit a home run, right?
Yeah.
But at on the same team at one point, no one really says anything to Luis Valbuena. He's got some of the most egregious bat flips on a single that you'll see
Good
in
point.
Baseball.
Good point.
And no one says a word because, oh, that's just Valbuena. He means nothing by it. In this case, you know, Puig hit a monster shot, and he stared at it, and then he ran kind of slow around the bases. My other point would be, when I watch pitchers celebrate, I don't see the hitters getting in their faces and getting upset. When, what's his name? Fernando Rodney does the arrow when he gets a save. True. Anybody getting pissed off about that?
Or pitchers celebrate too. When Martez came off the hill after in his first start after the fifth inning, got out of that jam and was all jacked up.
And Lance McCullers, didn't he yell some, didn't he have words to yell at at another team this year?
Yeah, it was this year.
After some, I forget
Might
who
have been
it
the
was.
Rangers.
Yeah. That's fine. It's all part of the game to me. I mean, getting mad because somebody's celebrating, I think, is one of those unwritten rules of baseball that I don't like. That dude just, you know what, you don't like it? Then don't groove one down the middle for him to launch 470 feet.
Right.
Well, I don't have a problem
with it. Here's the thing, and the interesting and ironic thing is you could do it in your own backyard. You want guys on either side of the equation? Go into the Astros locker room in the next home series. Get Correa, Brian McCann. Correa, along with Bryce Harper, started wearing hats last year that said, put the fun back in baseball.
Right.
They wanted to celebrate. They wanted more antics. They wanted to be able to express themselves. It's part of the reason why we're going to have this players' weekend when they can wear whatever they want and put their nicknames on their jerseys and do all kinds of fun stuff. The guy on the other end of the argument would be Brian McCann, who as a catcher has been in the middle of many of these where he doesn't like a bat flip or he doesn't like anybody showing another guy out. And by the time the guy gets ready to hit home plate after a home run, McCann's up in his grill. And it happened when he was with the Yankees as recently as that, where he just, yeah. Homie don't play that. He ain't taking that.
Well, does this change your mind at all? What Flores said was, I don't think he knows what having respect for the game is. We're playing horrible right now. We don't need his behavior. He disrespected us. I don't think that I'm not changing the way I am. So if Valbuena hits a double and bat flips and you're in a funk as a team, he's got to not be who he is at the plate because of that. I mean, I just don't. How is that disrespecting you? I think sometimes, like, you're a first baseman. Why are you taking that personally? I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't that part of these unwritten rules has always been kind of weird to me. I mean, so yeah, guys celebrate. I mean, look, everybody celebrates. Yeah. When a guy makes a great catch in the outfield, he's running off. I mean, when teams win, they're doing dances now. The outfielders get together some sort of routine or whatever. It's everyone's doing it at different points in the game. Now, guys like Brian McCann aren't. They're a little more old school. But I'm with you. Something needs to be done to make baseball more fun.
I mean, here's the thing, too. Are they more upset about him looking at the home run for a second? Because it really wasn't that long.
This is only in baseball, by the way.
Right.
This is only in baseball. I mean, could you imagine if somebody, like, if you know, a basketball player would have wanted to fight Dikembe Mutombo for doing the finger wag?
Or Steph Curry did the fake poop on the court thing, or, you know, the big high step and going back
every
to the huddle.
Every time James Curry crosses somebody over and cooks it up in the pot.
Is that Steph's brother or Harden's brother?
What'd I say?
James Curry.
Oh, James Harden. I'm an idiot. I'm not paying attention. But every time James, I mean, that's the thing, is it's like, this is in football. Everybody, I mean, J.J. Watt has his, you know, salute, and everybody celebrates a touchdown.
Antonio Brown, right?
It's the only sport where if you're celebrating and having fun, people get upset. I think it's ridiculous. Move your sport into this century, please.
Yeah, I mean, and look.
Sorry, I didn't mean. You're
right. And look, I mean, even the flipping off. I'll say this: the flipping off is unnecessary, no matter what, because it's a bad look for baseball.
Yeah, don't do that. As a fan, too.
And he got suspended, and he got dinged for that. But in terms of just bringing some fun back in the game, I think he probably heard the heat for looking at it, and he didn't. And I went back and looked at it. He didn't really look at it very long. Some guys will sit and actually gawk at it and then bat flip. He looked at it, right? But I think once he started looking at it, he started hearing the chirping from the dugout and just decided, okay, well, then you know how about what? I'm going to go on the world's longest trip around the bases.
I wonder if he's just walked. That would have been like, I would have gone Derek Bell Operation Shutdown and just walked around the bases, like slow too. Just walking and pointing. And I don't think there's anything they could do, couldn't they? Is there some sort of rule where you have to run after home run?
I don't think so, because a lot of guys take their sweet time just on a walk going to first base because they want to hit.
That would be hilarious. Just walk around.
What was it? Jeffrey Leonard had to crawl down.
Just crawl.
Was it Jeffrey Leonard when he was with the Giants back in the day? When he hit a bomb, he would go around the bases with the, they called it the flap down. One of his hands had to be always down and kind of behind his back. It was supposedly sending a message.
I don't know.
Kevin Mitchell did something like that too when he was with the Giants hitting home runs.
I don't know. I've always wondered why they do the lean. Have you ever noticed that when they round second, they always kind of they're not looking.
Correa grabs the visor of his helmet.
Yeah. But I always wondered, a lot of guys do that. They'll have this sort of like lean, like they're putting their back to the pitcher at second base. Is that just they think it looks cool? I don't know. I don't know why they do that.
I mean, they're all, like I said, Correa is one of the bring the fun into baseball things. So, but you watch when he hits a home run on second and third, he always dips the shoulder and grabs the visor.
Yeah.
So
somebody said lost in the 10 runs scored is Paulino's 5 Ks in 2 innings. Yeah, I didn't realize he had 5 Ks in 2 innings.
I thought it was more important he had only given up one hit.
Well, I mean, it's 2 innings. That's for the one hit.
How many he's giving up now?
Well, I don't know, but it's only the fourth inning, so.
Come still.
And then we'll just cap off this wonderful show today with this text. Joel is as athletic as Barry is funny, or as Nick is as a good producer. There's a real fan right there.
So we're all world.
He loves us.
And he keeps listening. So there you go.
Good times, good times.
This is from the electrician with the crack hanging out that just ate his fourth cheeseburger that's going home to frickin' sit in front of the TV and drown his sorrows.
Well, at least he didn't, you know, single any one of us out.
Yeah,
he was mean to all of us.
Speaking of mean, AJ's next along with Fred and the rest of the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5.